Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. So glad you're here on this Veterans Day. We've got the studio loaded with doctors, knowledge, and lots of information for you.
Now, I've shared a lot of personal stuff on this show so far today.
Yes, you have.
And I'm going to do one more.
Nothing's going to stop him
this
now.
This one's a little more fun, though.
Okay.
Because the last caller was about scars.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I noted many decades ago in my 47 years of medical practice that 99% of the human race looks better with their clothes on than off, okay? And that other 1% never made it to my office anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I am clearly one of those people who looks better dressed than undressed because I've got scars.
Oh, okay? Yes.
I had a hand grenade that messed up my left knee. I had a bullet clip my right ankle. I have a round in the right thigh. I've got shrapnel scattered all up my left side. I've got 2 bullet wounds through the left arm and 1 in the right arm. I'm missing about half the right side of my butt where a big 50 caliber round
wow.
skimmed down over my back and blew off about half my ass.
Oh my goodness.
So when I was courting Bandine, we met and we had been talking online, and I had talked to her for more than 100 hours before I actually met her. I
wow.
knew this woman. She was living in Sweden. I was living in Kirkland, but you know, a Chinese girl in Sweden doing business in Finland and Norway.
Wait a minute.
She's an international traveler.
Yes, she is.
She speaks, you know, Szechuanese, Mandarin, Swedish, Norwegian, and English. But I met her for our first date was on the island of Crete. And I've talked to this girl for probably 100, 110 hours. We're finally going to spend our first night together. And I'm a little nervous because I've got scars everywhere. And she had heard about my scars but had never seen them. And I didn't know how she was going to react.
Okay.
And I knew she was really important to me. Again, we've talked for months and months and months. You know, I was already deeply in love with the person, even though I had never touched her. I had just gotten to know her so well. So that first night, we're standing in the living room of this little condo on the island, on Crete. And I said, you know, sweetie, you've heard about my scars, but you've never seen them. I said, we're going to be together for the next 10 days. You're going to see my scars. I'm a little concerned how you're going to react. She, with her very forthright manner, simply looked up at my eyes and said, let me decide what I think. And she unbuttoned my shirt and pulled it off me, undid my trousers and dropped them around my ankles.
And look at the time.
And I'm standing there in my shorts with my trousers around my feet. And she started at my front. She walked all the way around my body, rubbing her fingertips over these puckers and that line and this dip. And she got all the way back around to my front, looked up at me, because she's a little Chinese girl. She looked up at me and said, those are warrior scars. They make me feel safe because I know you'll fight to protect what you love.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. She could not have scripted
wow.
that better if she had been in Hollywood. You know, I wanted to pick her up in my arms, carry her off, and marry her on the spot.
Oh.
And I did pick her up and carry her, but only to the next room where there was a bed. Yeah. But that's a whole different issue. So, yeah. So scars are not necessarily bad things.
No.
You know, my scars actually helped me to win the heart of the woman I adore. Mm-hmm. So.
And you have a story for each one of them because you remember.
Yes.
Way more exciting than, yeah, my cat scratched me.
Yeah.
That's a scratch, not a scar.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Well, so, thank you, Dr. Mixon.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had, Bandine and I have both had unusual lives, and we have blended them in a very unique manner.
Yes, so. You have. Yes, you have. This is Leading Edge Medicine today. Hi there, I'm Lynette. We have room for your phone call. Lines are open, 800-465-8770, especially if you have a question concerning your eye health. This is the day to call in. We'd like to hear from you. We had an off-air question. Somebody wanted to know, is there a treatment for, and we'll just spend a quick second on this before going to our next call, but is there a treatment for toxoplasmosis?
I've never treated toxoplasmosis.
Okay, and isn't that the one where you can get that?
You get it from the cats.
And, cat box, yeah, or something?
And it's of concern in pregnant women, especially.
Pregnant women,
okay. That's why they tell pregnant women don't...
Not to clean.
Don't clean the cat box.
Okay.
Leave that to someone else. I don't know.
You haven't encountered that.
I have 47 years of medicine. I have, back when I was delivering babies, I used to tell them, you know, I'd ask if they have a cat, and I'd said, let hubby clean the cat box and so on. But quite frankly, I never had a woman catch toxoplasmosis.
It can often be associated with retinal scarring. For active toxo, there are treatments, but I have never treated it because if you have an immunocompetent patient, it rarely needs to be treated. It's self-limited.
Wow. Mm. Okay.
But you do end up with characteristic scarring of the retina.
Okay. Hmm. All right. Well, we don't know much about that. The doctors haven't seen whoever had that question.
So I think the real answer is yes, there are medical treatments, but usually it's self-limited and does not need to be treated.
And I don't know anybody that's actually treated it.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Some guy that didn't want cats in his house invented this.
Bravo.
So that, yeah.
Parasitic infection.
Okay. All right. Let's go to another question. We have Jeremy on the line from Everett. Hi there, Jeremy. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umet. My wife and I are longtime patients at the Linwood Clinic, and I had surgery a couple months ago, and I plan to, when it heals up a little bit more, I plan to do stem cell on it. It's my shoulder. And I had planned to do the dasatinib and then, get the stem cell. And so I was wondering, you know, how I know it takes a number of weeks for the dasatinib course. How long do you think it would be optimal to wait after that's through before doing my stem cell? And I assume reducing the senescent cells would help the stem cell.
Yes.
You could also just kind of make sure that that's right.
That's absolutely true. When I had the stem cell procedure done on my hip, here's what I did. All right, I did a three-day courses, so a full 9-day, 3-week course of dasatinib and quercetin, and then I waited 2 weeks before I did the stem cells. I wanted to get the dasatinib completely out of my system. Because it can, in fact, inhibit the growth and development of the stem cells. Okay. So that's important. Another thing to do, though, since you're one of our patients, obviously I don't have access to your laboratory here, nor would I put it on the air, but I don't know where they're running your testosterone load, but you might want to move that to the upper edge of our normal range. Because fascinatingly, I have come across several papers recently that show that testosterone actually rescues aging stem cells and increases the strength, the number, and the viability of stem cells in almost every tissue. It's especially well known for improving bone marrow stem cells, and those are the ones that Dan Nelson likes to use. He's going to pull them out of your bone marrow and put them into your shoulder. And those marrow, those hematologic stem cells are especially sensitive to testosterone effect.
Great information.
Yeah.
I would also suggest, I did this, I've actually started doing it for a lot of my pre-surgical patients as they're getting ready for surgery, is prior to surgery, putting them on the Prolon 5-day fast mimicking protocol because it stimulates autophagy. And then they go into surgery, you know, way before surgery, protocols are initiated, don't do this, that, or the other, we're finished. And they do follow the protocols for per surgeon request. And then post-op, when the surgeon clears them 4 weeks, 6 weeks later, I've started their dasatinib protocol. And one of my patients who's done this protocol, this was her second surgery. The outcome was dramatically different than the first one. She just did so much better during surgery, right after recovery, and now she's into the post-recovery phase and just starting her dasatinib protocol. So I'm waiting to see, you know.
So move your move your testosterone dose up to the upper edge. Don't go into super physiologic levels, but we want you in the upper range of the of our target. And hold that there, and I do it for as long as possible to get those stem cells active and growing. And, you know, it should have been almost axiomatic. We should have recognized this long ago. The hematologists now have done the study saying that the bone marrow becomes far more active. Well, that's why we all know that the most common side effect of testosterone supplementation is, in fact, too many red blood cells. But you also grow more hair on your chest and hair on your legs and your back and your shoulders and stuff. We males grow more hair, and it is activating the stem cells. We grow more muscle. Again, it's stem cells that are being activated and growing new tissue. It improves our heart. It improves our brain. So the testosterone is a growth factor everywhere, and one of its mechanisms is, in fact, rejuvenating our stem cells so that we make better tissue.
Right.
Which is really kind of neat.
Wow. How is that, Jeremy? Yeah, did you have any other questions?
Yeah, no, it's great. Thank you. In addition to the bone, because Dr. Nelson, he's going to source the bone marrow, but also fat tissue stem cells, correct?
Yeah. Well, he can. Okay. I know he and I were talking about that a month or two ago.
Yeah.
Because we have been looking at the relative values of the two. Adipose tissue stem cells are a slightly different lineage and have different virtues and vices than the hematologic stem cells. The joy of the fat stem cells is that fat is the only tissue in the human body that actually grows more vigorously as we get older. Everything else shrivels up and gets weak. Only fat.
Speak for yourself.
Only fat actually goes into high gear and improves the number of stem cells that we've got. So there is a theoretical consideration for some uses in which the adipose, the fat cells, might actually be more beneficial than the bone marrow.
Right. Dan was talking about that at the last show and how, you know, in the past it was harder because they have to spin the fat cells and then it was considered a foreign object. But now there's a new device where it allows them to use it without that being a problem.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. The fat adipose requires more processing.
Yeah.
The bone marrow is pretty darn clean and easy to use and separate. So, but yes, the technology is improving, and he's now being able to use both types depending on what he's trying to accomplish.
Well, you know, athletes, professional athletes, prefer to use adipose tissue. The problem is they don't have any adipose tissue.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Are there needs for
donors
for that? I mean, like there are blood donors.
I'm sure we could find plenty of donors.
That's right.
Wow, to be paid for that. And look at that. We need to take a quick break.
Okay.
We will be back with more of your questions. And thank you for that one, Jeremy. Thank you for calling in today. This is Leading Edge Medicine. I'll give you that number. Phone lines are open for your questions. 800-465-8770. We will be back. And we're going to answer the question with Dr. Gilbert of, why are my eyes so itchy? They just, what's going on? Is it the weather? They're so dry. Let's find out about that.
That's the evil coming out in you.
Oh.
So, stay right there. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. You're here. Glad that you're listening, and we love it when you call with your questions for Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samira Umat, and for Dr. Michael Gilbert. Questions about dry eyes. You must get a bunch of those this time of year.
So in the fall or early winter, the number of patients coming in with ocular irritation and tearing when they step outside, increased fatigue, decreased vision with reading and computer use goes way up all of a sudden.
Okay.
And most of them aren't aware that it has been a sudden change. They just say things are getting worse. The main reason is the change in the weather. When the temperature goes down outside, the heat comes on inside, and typically most of HVAC heating and air conditioning systems dehydrate the air. So it's drier outside, it's drier inside, and we haven't changed our activities, except we spend more screen time reading indoor activities. So it's both the environment, the humidity in the air, as well as what we're doing with our eyes. And the underlying problem, the challenge is that if the system's working, then each time we blink, and the challenge is it's a mechanical system, each time we blink, we release the tears that keep your vision clear and your eyes comfortable. But when we sit down to a computer, reading, television, screen time, driving, we stop blinking.
Oh, because we're concentrating.
Normal blink rate is 20 times a minute. On the computer, it goes as low as 2 times a minute.
Whoa!
Watch your teenage kid on the computer, and you'll see their eyes don't move forever.
Wow.
And ever. And the problem is not that the eye just dries out. The worst part of that is that those glands live and die by the old adage, if you don't use them, you lose them. And so I see people all of the time who come in because they have a little irritation. They're hoping for a drop that I can prescribe and fix it. And what I show them is they have some permanent gland loss.
Ooh.
And that this has been going on at, you know, it's additive, progressive. Gets a little bit worse each year, and this year happens to be the worst.
Mm.
And with this living in such a tech-intensive community, I'm showing this to younger and younger people. I literally have some teenagers. 18-year-old was in just a couple of weeks ago. New patient, discomfort working on the computer. 18 years old, 80% gland loss.
Whoa. Wow, Dr. Samir.
The average computer programmer that comes in and wants, you know, is expecting that I'm just going to give them a drop and let them go. And honestly, most of my colleagues would do that. But if I take the time to show them their glands, because showing them their glands is the only way for them to come to the realization that if you don't make some changes,
you're going to get worse.
Because right now we can't bring back the dead. Someday. Maybe rapamycin, maybe.
Maybe,
right.
Maybe.
Yeah. Right.
Or stem cells injected into the...
Just yesterday, I was looking at there's a study not being done in the U.S., by the way, stem cell injections around the eye for dry eyes. And they showed some improvement.
Mm.
So we'll see. That that may be coming. But for dry eyes, rejuvenating that gland system that you have left, recognizing the problem. So one thing that can help, if it's not too bad, is doing a little hot compress first thing in the morning to help get those glands started. The moment you notice any fluctuation, blink first. But if you notice fluctuation in your vision or irritation, you don't want to think, oh, it's time to blink. You want to think, how am I messing up so that I'm not, so I get to this point? Because that's where the long-term damage is done.
Wow.
The same protective failure happens when you step outside into a cold breeze, because you don't have that protective layer being adequately replaced before you step out. So answers to that is, again, rejuvenation of that meibomian gland system, doing some heat, increasing the omega-3 oils in your diet. Within 4 weeks, the increased omega-3s in the diet can be measured in the tear film, and that helps to improve its resistance to evaporation. Failing those, come on in and see us, and we can see what we can do to bring that system back around.
Very good. Okay.
If you're going out on a run and you're not going to do hot compresses and omega-3s to just so you can run, it's too late. Wearing some tightly wrapped glasses, sunglasses, the more you can protect your eyes against that airflow, the less likely you are to have that tearing when you go for your run.
Mm. Oh, very good. Some good information
there. Dr. Mixon, fake glasses for you.
There you go.
Fake glasses for me. Well, actually, I've been...
Swimming goggles.
I've been talking to myself about coming back to see you. Because when I had my crystal lens put in back in my 60s, I don't know how long ago, 12, 13, 14 years ago, I had great accommodation. I was 20/15 to the horizon, and I could read up to about 6 inches from my nose. And I was quite proud of that because I had worked at it. But in the last year or two, I'm noticing that I'm starting to wear my granny glasses when I want to read small print on the computer. And so I had great accommodation for the first 10 years or so, and now it's starting to fade. And so I'm sitting here thinking, okay, what's going on? Am I getting one of those little membranous things that needs to be zapped with a laser?
Oh, yes.
You know, are my, those aging muscles around the capsule are getting weak, and, you know, I just need to do more exercise.
For patients
in my
with
eyes.
The crystal lens, it's usually the latter.
Yeah. Okay.
It's rare that that membrane grows back. I see it, but less than 1 in 1,000. It's more common with the crystal lens that those muscles fatigue.
Yeah.
And whether or not you can bring them back is the challenge. If anyone can do that through exercise, Jerry, we all know you can.
Yes.
Whether mere mortals can also achieve
that's
that.
That's right. Add another exercise regime for Dr. Mixon.
That's right. Yes. Well, I'm trying to remember my blinking.
That's right.
Well, because
especially before you run.
Yeah, and I go out, you know, I usually hit the trail about 6:15 in the morning, and this time of the year, it's pitch black out.
Oh, yes.
Right.
I'm running with my headlight, and the icy wind is hitting my eyes, and the tears are running down my cheeks.
Oh.
And I'm saying, I'm so glad it's dark, because nobody can see
Why
me weeping while I cry.
You need some of those night goggles, you know, so, I mean, just really,
that's
you know,
right,
you've got
like
your
the
light
military
up here,
get a helmet,
and then your night vision glasses, like a Borg.
I do have a headlight, so I can see the trail as I run in the dark. But you know, now it's dark in the morning when I go out.
Right.
And it's dark at night when I go out with Ben Dean.
Right.
I
mean,
so I have patients all the time that we talk about. They say, "Yeah, I have trouble driving at night, but I've had to give up night driving." And I say, "If you have to give up night driving in Seattle." You're in trouble.
Yeah, really.
I drive to work in the dark. I go home in the dark. You can step out at noon and, you know,
be wondering.
dark.
Yes.
So they always smile and laugh and say, yeah, okay, well, I guess it's time to fix it.
Yes. Oh, boy. Okay, our number to call to get through today, 800-465-8770, which is exactly what Matt did in Bothell. Welcome to the show, Matt. Good morning.
Good morning, Matt. How do we help?
Good morning, all the doctors, and Lynette, of course.
Hello.
So we have a couple of questions for you. I'll throw them out there, a couple for Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umet, and one for Dr. Gilbert. Mm-hmm. Just recently, my wife and I sat down and watched a podcast with a Nathan S. Bryan, B-R-Y-A-N, that does the nitrous oxide presentation. And I was just wondering what, you know, if you're on the same page with him as far as nitrous oxide in relation to blood pressure and mm-hmm. so forth as we get older. And then the question for Dr. Gilbert is that I have a situation where periodically out of nowhere I will get double vision, and it's either vertical double vision or sometimes horizontal, I think. This has been going on for a couple of years. Maybe it happens every, I don't know, 3-6 months apart. And it's a little obviously concerning, and then it goes away and everything's fine. So there's my two main questions for you guys.
Well, nitrous oxide, we have enormous nitrous oxide production in our arterial endothelium when we're young. But by 60, the average person has lost about 94% of nitric oxide production. And that decrease in nitric oxide production means we cannot expand our arteries to get the enormous blood flow improvement we used to get with exercise and so on in our youth. Mm-hmm. And so that means that we don't perfuse our brains as well, our muscles as well, you know, our kidneys, everything is functioning at a baseline, but we don't do a good job of really opening up those vessels anymore. And in men, that often shows up as erectile dysfunction, where that blood supply to the genitals is just not able to have that robust flow to cause the penile engorgement. And so lots of things can be done to help that. One of the things is the testosterone that we have almost every man and every woman on. Testosterone is a vasodilator. It opens up blood vessels and improves blood supply to everything. So part of the erectile function improvement is just from the testosterone. Part of it is the improved libido, the desire, you know, for things erotic. So part of it's a brain function and part of it's a peripheral function. We also use the PDE5 inhibitors. Things like tadalafil and Viagra and so on. Tadalafil is my favorite because it's got a 36-hour useful lifespan. You take a small dose every day, and you've always got dilated vessels. And the reason I like that is that these drugs prevent you from getting rid of nitric oxide as efficiently. So while we have lost, we only have about 6% of our youthful production. That we produce, we keep around a lot longer. And that provides better blood flow to our brains, our muscles, our gut, our heart, every part of our body. And so that those PDE5 inhibitors improve blood flow to our brains. They help us build muscle and exercise more efficiently. They actually, though, prevent cancer from spreading and growing very fast because most solid tumors are, in fact, very rich in phosphodiesterase. And so inhibiting phosphodiesterase production slows tumor growth. They cut the diagnosis of prostate cancer by 50%. Mm. So, you know, while I'm using them to enhance people's lifespan, I'm also using them to decrease the risk of prostate cancer, et cetera, and to keep their brains more functional. Additionally, we have some supplements that we use to help you to produce more nitric oxide. So we want you to keep as much nitric oxide as you will produce around as long as possible hence, you know, I use my phosphodiesterase inhibitor every single day of my life. But I also use something called the Neo Forte, which is a lozenge you can chew or just let it dissolve in your mouth if you want it to trickle in more slowly. And it increases the amount of nitric oxide produced.
We do measure before we start prescribing them. They're a part of our ED treatment protocols with the Viasure device for men. But we do measure to see where all of our patients are at. And then those, even those that are not needing ED treatment, if they're low, we do then start them either on Vasconox or Neo4Ds, whichever they choose, to help improve their own production. You know, sometimes your production is decreased with age. A lot of times we see that. Sometimes it's inhibited by other things that you might be taking. So whatever the cause may be, you want to increase that production to help vasodilatation and all the other things Dr. Mixon mentioned. So we do measure in our clinics. We do prescribe treatments. You can make a difference. And then people also ask, you know, can I use beets and stuff? Yeah, absolutely, you can. Absolutely, you can. And that'll help too. I haven't seen anybody eat enough beets that they can avoid taking the medications.
No.
But I might be surprised yet. I don't know.
Yes.
But on the other hand, borscht is a love food. So go right ahead and eat your beet stew.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. Does that help?
It did.
Good.
And then, Dr. Gilbert, what about this double vision problem I'm having or have on occasion?
I hear music. Do I get to talk about double vision first or after?
Let's right afterwards. Let's take a break.
Let's make him wait.
Yes, stay right there, Matt.
Anticipation.
Tune in.
That's right. Stay tuned. We'll talk more about your double vision in just a moment, Matt, with Dr. Michael Gilbert. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samira Umat, and Dr. Michael Gilbert, all in the studio, talking about the eyes today. If that is a question for you, this is the day to call Dr. Michael Gilbert here from Northwest Vision Institute. Dr. Mixon, you go to Dr. Gilbert. He's my eye doctor as well. So there you go. We love Dr. Gilbert and his staff. Love all your staff.
Call. Thank you very much.
Yes. You have an amazing staff of folk.
I have a great team.
I miss them. It's time for me to come back and get my Bowman glands checked or something.
All right.
Okay, so Matt from Bothell, you had a question for Dr. Gilbert.
So you had I think you articulated your double vision. I've got a couple questions for you. Some double vision is very common, and there are many causes for it. The first question is it just one eye or both? And when I ask that, many people haven't really checked. So that's something you can easily determine at home. When you have a little double vision, close one eye, then the other. If it totally goes away when you close either eye, then it's called binocular, which means that the problem is the two eyes working together. But sometimes it's just coming from one eye. And the most common reason for some double vision that's temporary is the eye temporarily drying out. It degrades the optical axis enough that it creates a shadowing or a doubling of the image in one or both eyes. But if that's what's causing it, a few blinks or a drop of artificial tears makes it go away. So that would be diagnostic. First of all, check and see if it's coming for one or both eyes simultaneously, or if it goes away with either blinking or putting in some artificial tears. But let's just assume that it's with both eyes, and blinking and artificial tears don't make any difference. Then it's probably a good idea. It's definitely a good idea to come in and get some measurements made. The reason is the cause is typically coming from a weakness or a failure of one of the many muscles. Each eye has six muscles that determine its movement and direction. And so there are a total of 12 eye muscles working together. And for us to see one of whatever we're looking at, which is to say to avoid double vision, those 12 muscles have to be in absolutely perfect alignment every fraction of a waking second that we have. What's amazing is that we don't have more double vision. 12 muscles working in perfect concert every waking moment. So what can happen is, especially with age, and here it most likely is with fatigue. If it's those muscles that one or more are those muscles that are temporarily falling out of alignment, it's usually later in the day with a little fatigue. And usually that's totally benign, in which case, if it happens often enough, there are ways that we can trick the eye and measure such deviations. And if it happens with any frequency, yours obviously doesn't, but understanding what's going on is important because it can progress over time. And if you have it with any frequency, with fatigue, then having some glasses that we build in a little prism that just gives that weaker muscle a boost, and those can be used if this can happen. If it happens with fatigue, that can happen with night driving or something like that. So I don't think that's your situation now, although, again, having measurements, if it's muscle-based, is worthwhile so we can track and make sure it's not changing over time. If it's a large deviation that doesn't go away, this is not your situation, then that definitely needs to be checked out and understood. That can happen from diabetes. It can happen from a stroke. There are many things much more serious. For your situation, it could be any one of those first couple things that I mentioned, and you can tell me what you've tested.
I think I have done the hold one hand over the eye thing, and yeah. I can't remember right now whether or not it actually made a difference or not.
That's really, it's diagnostic, because if you hold your hand over one eye and it's double and it goes away when you do that, and it doesn't go away when you do that, then it's coming from one eye, has nothing to do with the muscles, and we're dealing purely with the optics. Sometimes that can be from a cataract, sometimes from dry eyes. So there are many things that can cause that. And you can say, well, a cataract wouldn't come and go. Yes, but your awareness of it may vary from day to day or time of day. So if it's one eye, we go down a completely different diagnostic tree than if it's both eyes working together. Then it's almost certainly muscle-based.
Yeah, I mean, I've even had it happen when first waking up in the morning and rolling out of bed and looking at the wall and going, oh, this isn't good.
So cover each eye independently, do a few blinks, put in some artificial tears, and see what changes it. But I'm also glad to do some measurements. We can check out the alignment of the muscles and see what they're doing.
Okay. And I have one quick other question for you. You did my wife's cataract change. She loves it. She loves you.
Thank you very much.
She wants me to ask you whether or not if she can come into the Kirkland branch and just get her standard checkup instead of driving.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Perfect. That's all right. I needed, guys. Thank you very much.
Great questions.
Thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you so much, Matt. Great call. And we are going to talk about RLE and cataracts here in just a moment, but we have something very special coming up, and it's happening in our Tacoma and our Kirkland clinics next Saturday. So, Dr. Umat, why don't you explain what's going on here?
Well, November is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, and because pancreatic cancer is always detected late and usually fatal by the time it is detected, and sometimes symptoms are present early, but there's no screening for it. So usually when there's no screening for a test, mortality rate is 70%, whereas if you screen for a cancer and pick it up early, you can delay mortality spread, and you can increase quality of life. So we're all about preventing what we know we can prevent, trying to prevent what's not happening, and screening early for diseases. And Galleri is one such test, is the only one of its kind where with one blood test, we can screen for 50 different types of cancers. And because of Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, we'll drop the price of the Galleri test to $1,100. Anybody can come in and get that screening test done. And we will have a doctor visit to go over the test results. You can also choose to do our usual longevity health analysis visit with that if you like. And we will also, just to say thank you for coming in and, you know, being proactive in your own health and trying to find out what is going on, we'll also give you a free bag of Relief Factor just as a thank you for visiting. You know, they are filling up pretty quickly. Tacoma is doesn't have as many as Kirkland right now, but we are going to offer it in both clinics. We do have to plan for staffing. Mm-hmm. So if you could please book your appointment sooner rather than later. But an opportunity for you to begin this journey. All this morning we've been talking about diseases. And the thing is that there's a lot we can do to prevent problems from happening. And cancer is one such problem where, you know, once you have a diagnosis and it spreads, then prognosis really declines precipitously. And so if you want, if you're worried about it, if you've had a family history, if you've had a personal incidence of pancreatitis, you have alcohol history, anything that you're not sure about, this is the time to come in to get this test done. And we will be happy to kind of talk you through it. As you heard, we've, you know, so many new things on the horizon with dasatinib and quercetin combinations, with rapamycin. And we'd love for you to come on that journey with us to reduce your possible risk for morbidity in this life. So the gallery test is for that reason. And November 18th for Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, we will host a special fair on a Saturday, both in Kirkland and Tacoma. Linwood, by the way, was a huge success.
Wonderful.
So thank you for everybody that came to Linwood last week. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to connecting with you and giving you your test results in the future.
Absolutely. So to schedule your health analysis appointment or to schedule your time to come in for the gallery test next week in Tacoma or in our Kirkland clinic, here is that number to call. You can do that right now. Someone will get you all set up. It's 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or online, you can go to lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. Again, the gallery test along with the health analysis test for you. We're scheduling next Saturday, the 18th of November, in our Tacoma clinic and in our Kirkland clinic. So make sure you do this. It's not some last time we offered this was earlier this year. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that you have that opportunity. You've been asking about it. We've got it now. So let's get you scheduled. Again, the number is 866-86-YOUNG, or online you can schedule at lmclinic.com. Get the details there as well. We'll be back with Dr. Michael Gilbert, and we're going to talk about RLE and cataracts next. Medicine. So happy to have you joining us on this Veterans Day. And if you were a veteran, thank you so much for your service. We want to make sure that you know that. And we thank you also for tuning in today. Dr. Mixon here, Dr. Umat, and we have Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. We're going to talk with John from Milton next. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, John.
Good morning to all of you.
How can we help, sir?
I got three questions about RLE. The first question is what do you do if you have real bad floaty floaters in your eyes? And if do you do RLE first or floater operation first? And who does it? And do you do it, doctor?
So floaters are in the back two-thirds of the eye, and the natural lens is in the front third, and there's a natural barrier between those chambers. And so when we're doing RLE, one of our commitments is to try and preserve that barrier. It's very delicate. It's crystal clear. in most patients, and it's about the a fraction of the thickness of a red blood cell. So it's very thin, very fragile, and we work very hard to preserve it, meaning we don't go back there when we do RLE. So it's a good question. If you have a lot of floaters, then it can either be removed before or afterwards. And I think it depends on really how bothersome, how dense they are. Because some people, when we do cataract surgery or RLE, become less aware of their floaters. So it may be worthwhile doing that and seeing if the floaters still bother you. Oftentimes, a side effect of the surgery to remove floaters, called a vitrectomy, it's the vitreous that has the floaters, so a vitrectomy takes all of that out of there. That will accelerate cataract progression. So when that's done, usually for therapeutic reasons to repair retina damage, like a retinal detachment, but there are other reasons to do a vitrectomy, and sometimes it's just done for removing floaters. So if you have severe floaters, the question is, are they bad enough to take the risk? Because there is a risk of retinal detachment when you do vitrectomy. Fortunately, the risk of that surgery has been gradually decreasing, both by technique and technology. The instrumentation has become smaller and smaller over time, so those risks are diminished. It's often people who are highly nearsighted who have more floaters, and they're, of course, at higher risk for retinal detachment. So it's well to consider how bothersome the floaters are and the risk-benefit of removing them. But technically, the specific answer to your question is it can be done either way. I think doing the implant surgery first and seeing how much they bother you probably makes the most sense rather than taking that incremental risk up front.
Well, that's the question that I had on number three, because I didn't want to have to go in and have floater surgery, my eyes open up and have the risk of
right.
cataracts and stuff like that. And I've read such bad reviews on that stuff. That scares me. I'd rather live with the floaters. So what do you think about the floater doctor, the guys in California? There's a guy in Bellevue, a great company that does floater laser. What do you think about having lasers done with the floaters?
I actually do it, but I don't do very much of it because it's definitely controversial. Retina specialists who actually do definitive treatments for floaters are generally against it and think that the risk-benefit doesn't match. I selectively use laser to eliminate floaters depending on the number and the location. So it's a technology I use and embrace. However, if you have a lot of floaters, you're not going to be able to fix that with laser.
If you have
a few that are very intrusive in your vision, then it is possible to vaporize and fractionate those floaters and improve them with the laser. But if you have a lot of floaters, they got to go someplace, and the laser doesn't eliminate them.
No, my floaters are like this. They're like seeing a big leaf in your eye. They look like a big floating thing. And so when I turn my eyes side to side, they cross my vision. Now, it depends on the weather and the sun. Sometimes you don't notice them as much. Sometimes they don't bother me as much. But sometimes you just look at them, and every time, like if I'm looking sideways right now, I can see these great big pillow things going across my vision in the eyes. That's
given,
what bothers me.
Given the size and the frequency that they bother you, it sounds like to me that I have to see it, and you can't do this kind of assessment over the radio.
But it sounds like
the kind of that would not be amenable. You're not going to get full relief from doing the laser. We can probably reduce it, probably decrease the size and the frequency, But I think if we're talking about that, the large a floater or grouping of floaters and that frequency, removing them is probably makes the most sense. And if it's that intrusive in your visual life, the risk benefit leans probably toward getting it fixed.
My question is, how long has it been a problem? And because with age, is it vitreous progressively liquefies?
Yes. So
might they just get smaller and smaller over time anyway?
So when people get new floaters, we often talk about how long am I have to live with this? And new floaters often resolve within 3-6 weeks. I had one that lasted 4 months. That's on the long side. But some people will go 4, 6, 8 months a year and it hasn't gone. And I tell them, well, it may yet resolve because with age, that vitreous gel changes its viscosity. And as it becomes less and less viscous, it's more likely that the floater will be able to settle out by gravity in 1, 2, 5 years. So you don't necessarily have to have surgery. It's certainly possible that with time it can improve. And maybe a little laser.
So if I was to come in and have a checkup that CO1 and I was at possible RLE,
yes.
You could check the floaters and see if
of
you
course.
Could do any good with the floaters before you did the RLE for me?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think I would probably be up to that. Now, I'm not looking for 100%, but, you know, I remember about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, I slipped off a stepladder and I fell to the ground. And I jolted my head real bad. But,
yeah.
You know, I hurt my neck, and I never even thought of that. But about 3 or 4 or 5 months later, I noticed I have floaters from the left eye that I've had all of a sudden. All of a sudden, I have floater in the right side.
Sure.
So I think
so that can happen.
My head, kind of shook them up, too. So
trauma, head trauma, eye trauma, all of
That's
those
right.
can precipitate new floaters and put you at risk for retinal tear or detachment. So good idea to get that checked out. But certainly it happens just as much or probably more commonly
yeah.
just from normal aging of the eye.
Because I just went to the eye doctor and she says my eyes are good and healthy. Everything is good. You know, I wear reading glasses and I have driving glasses. I need them, but I don't really need them. They're not that strong. My eyes are not that good, but I'd like to see better. And I'm 67
sure.
years old. The older you get, the worse it's going to get. So why not address it now where I can see and
exactly.
enjoy life and see the best I can before you're gone. So
absolutely. I had my eyes done when I was in my 60s. And boy, have I never regretted it. I think it's a wonderful change.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Knowing what I know, I had mine done in my 50s. Much like Jerry, I had a moderate amount of nearsightedness, and it was getting in my way. I had to wear contacts. I had relatively dry eyes. I wasn't tolerating the contacts well, but having to wear glasses in clinical practice with the optics that we use was more than inconvenient. So it was a huge life change, and just could never go back.
We know insurance doesn't pay for RLE. So if a guy comes in, do you do both eyes at one time, or you do it?
Usually we do one eye at a time. It is possible. Rarely I will do bilateral surgery if we need to. There's no reason we can't do it. Usually for, you know, the advantage of doing one eye at a time is you get a few days, a week, two, as your choice, to kind of test drive the first eye and say, oh, I
yeah,
love this. It's perfect.
Exactly.
Or
yeah,
is there any yeah. way we can do subtle modifications in the second eye? So I prefer to do one eye at a time, partly because I get to see if you heal normally. You get to see if I did a good job. More importantly, you get to kind of test drive the new vision.
No, that's exactly right. That sounds like a good idea to me. And I can find somebody to help me finance something like that because I'm sure it's pretty expensive, right?
Sure. We do have financing. But, you know, I hate sentences that include the words at your age. Ouch. But at your age, at sometimes There are aging changes to the natural lens and symptoms that justify insurance helping with RLE.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well, we'll do that. I'm certainly going to make a phone call to your office this week and get in there and see you.
So, great. I look forward to it.
Very good. Thank you for the call, John. In fact, I'm going to give you the phone call, the phone number right now so that you can reach Dr. Michael Gilbert at Northwest Vision Institute. That number is 425-450-2020. How about that? 425-450-2020. So thank you so much for the show. We have 25 seconds left today. Thank you, Dr. Gilbert. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
For being on the show today with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. And we will be back next week with another live show. We invite you to tune in. And don't forget, if you are wanting to schedule that gallery test in Tacoma or in Kirkland next Saturday, you do need to call in advance. Here's the number. It's 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website, lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll be back next week on Leading Edge Medicine.